Hallelujah. God is faithful. He is good. And I'm going to get my glasses. Just never know when that small thing that I wrote, I'm really going to need. Can you help? I'm going to have to start doing that regularly. If I have them, I may not have them. Do I want to wear your glasses? I don't know. Okay. Let's see how far I get. We'll see. Vanity kicked in. I don't know if I want to wear his glasses or not. They look great on you. I'm just not sure they're me, but we'll see. I promise I will not let vanity interfere with the delivering of the Word of God. And I so appreciate everyone who is here this morning who made the effort. And just so those of you who are watching understand, our heater is not working. So in, what is it, 20-something degrees outside, we have little tiny space heaters trying to help us keep up. But the Lord is good, and if you are not aware of that, if you want to move closer to a heater, some of us are our own heaters, so I understand we don't always need to be in front of the blast, but we won't go there any further. But I know that the Lord put this word in my heart because I sought to study this week and found nothing. And I said, okay, God, let's see who you want to work through. And then the next morning at about 6 a.m, I woke up with this stirring in my spirit. And I said, okay, God, and I'll get up in a little bit and type it. And it was like, no, you're going to get up now. And would not let me rest. And I would say that this word is a blessing over you, a blessing for you, an encouragement to you. Before I get too far into it, I just want to, again, appreciate everyone who came out, speak a blessing over you, speak divine protection over you. When it's time to go back home, the angels are encamped around about you. You go in safety and blessing with no issues. The Lord goes before you and prepares your way. And if you're watching this at a later date and you're wondering what's going on, this is South Texas, and we have 23 degrees and snow and sleet, and it's been doing this for a few days, and we're kind of wondering if we've entered the apocalypse or what's going on here, because it's unusual weather for us. And so that being the case, most of us are not really familiar with how to drive. When it rains, it gets a little crazy, so imagine snow and ice. And so we are just thanking God. Oh, hallelujah. I love people that listen and help. I love helps. Amen. God is so good. Oh, look, there's words. Words on the page. So anyway, so people who came today came with commitment in their heart and will leave with a blessing because they've been faithful and stepped out there, and those of you who are watching on live stream, we're so thankful. You could be snoring at bedside assembly right now, ministering to the Lord in dreams and visions, but you've tuned in, and there's blessing in coming to the table and receiving what the Lord has for us. So, Father, I thank you for your word today that you desire to minister to us. Holy Spirit, flow in this place. Anointing, flow through me. Flow through the listeners, the hearers. Lord, let everything that you desire to be said be said. Let there be no wasted ramblings or wanderings. But Father, let us enter into that flow where we're hearing from you and being changed in your presence and by your word, Father, that is making the way clear for us, giving us understanding, causing us to enter into your blessings, your flow, and your desire for us. We thank you that you bless your word today. We give you glory and honor and praise, and we'll be careful to continue to thank you for all that you are doing in us and in the earth today. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Today I'm talking about the rewards of seeking him. The rewards of seeking him. There are a lot of things that we say, well, we know when we give, God blesses us when we give. We know when we ask, he hears us and he answers. But sometimes there are things that we don't realize that we can take advantage of. I think most of us have probably heard the story of a gentleman who was taking passage on a ship from England to the United States, I believe. And he stayed in his room and he ate his little cheese crackers that he had packed up and brought with him. And they kept trying to get him to come to dinner. And he said, "Oh, no, I can't." And finally, someone spoke with him. I don't know if they were already here or almost. I lose details in stories sometimes. But someone spoke with him about it, and he said, "I only purchased a ticket for passage. I did not purchase extra for food and drink and all of those things." And they said, "Sir, they didn't tell you? It comes with it. It's part of the deal. All you had to do was come to the table and receive and be blessed." And so there are blessings that we can receive when we do the things that God has called us to do. But if we don't realize that they are there, sometimes we don't lay hold of it. We don't draw on it. We don't expect it. Then we don't receive it. And so I just want to encourage you today. And we're going to start off with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Most of you are familiar with this passage. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would come near to God must," and this is Amplified Classic, "must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder or one who pays wages of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out." One who pays wages for those who seek him out. There are benefits when we press in. When we talk about seeking the Lord, what exactly does that mean? We seek him in prayer. We seek him in getting into his word and studying his word. When I say prayer, I mean just talking to him. "God, what's going on? What are you doing in the world right now? What are you doing in my life right now? What are my crazy neighbors doing? God, what's going on?" You're seeking him for understanding, for wisdom. When you just spend time in his presence, when you spend time in his word, when you go the places where he is, when you come to the assembly to worship him. Those are practices of seeking God, of pressing into him. And there are rewards for that. There is blessing for that if we continue. I want us to look in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12. I want to see this maybe in a little different light than you have, or than we have before, than I had before. I saw it differently as God called it out to me. He says, "Then you will call," starting in verse 12, Jeremiah 29, verse 12, "then you will call upon me." This is when you return from your rebellious ways, as he was talking to Israel. "Then you will call upon me, and you'll go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you." Hearken is listen attentively. I will pay attention to what you say. When your heart is towards me, basically, when you've turned back to me in previous scriptures. And he says, "And you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Do you understand what a blessed promise that is? So many people in other religions that worship other gods, they don't find answers. They don't find that entity. They just find strife and striving and trying to do what they're supposed to do out of fear. But God says, when you look for me, I think in the King James it says, "I will be found of you." You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. What does that mean? With your soul, with your inner man, undivided. When you require, it says when you look at the seek, when you require of necessity, "God, I must have you." He said, "I will be found of you." And then he says, "And I will turn away your captivity." Now, we know he was talking to the Israelites. They had been taken captive. I think it was about 70 years before this by the Babylonians. And they were in exile in this, not in their homeland. And God said that he would turn away their captivity. In other words, "I will set you free." But do you understand that though we may live in a free country, we may live in a good place, there are still things that attempt to hold us captive. Things from our past, things passed down from other generations that maybe we didn't have anything to do with. There were children growing up in this exile that had nothing to do with the disobedience that brought them there. Things that hold us, there are fears, the work of the enemy that tries to stay in our life. And God said, I will turn away your captivity. When we seek him and find him, we find a place of freedom. We begin to find things fall off. I know I saw one time when I was praying, I was just pressing in. I was just in such a sweet presence of the Lord, and it wasn't an open vision. I just saw a picture in my mind of myself, and I was like floating, like something out of a weird sci-fi movie, but I was floating towards the throne, towards his presence, towards God, and I could see this golden light was like coming from him and going through me, but there were places that it was coming out behind me, I hope I'm describing this well, coming out through me, and it was like things that were being drawn out of me. It was like black things, things that were not good. And as his presence came to me, the glory of the Lord was there. Things that should not be in me, things that held me captive, things that were issues, that were problems, were going away out of me supernaturally. Not because I made a decision to try and be better, not because I asked him to, but just because I was drawing closer to him, his presence was pushing those things out of me, turning away that captivity. That is something that God will do for you as you seek him. You don't have to address everything specifically. God, can you take this away? And I don't like my attitude here. And can you help me do this? And can you help me do these things? No, as you press in, as you go deeper, those things fall off. Many of those things, you will just wake up and it's not there anymore. That's the reward of seeking him, the reward of drawing closer to him. He said, I will be found of you. I'll turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from those places and bring you back to the place that I called you to, bring you back to your homeland, bring you into the freedom that I want you to live in. God wants to bring you into that place. The divine appointments, divine destinies that he has for you, meeting up with those things, he will make sure you are there when you seek him with everything that you have. When we determine to seek him, we find those bondages falling off, and we find freedom, and we find acceleration. Maybe it would have taken us a while. You know, it would have taken them a while maybe to just walk back to where they were supposed to be, trying to figure it out. But when God supernaturally orders your destiny, he gets you to places faster. He gets you where you're supposed to be, and you think, well, I'm going to have to do some penance here. I'm going to have to repent. It's going to take a while. I don't know if God's going to move me back to the front row because, you know, I messed up and I did this and that, so I'm just going to come in and sit in the back for a little while. No. Restoration, not because of your works, but because of the blood of Jesus, he will put you right back where he wanted you to be, in that place, because you sought him. Acts 17:27 talks about God put men in the earth in their places that they should seek the Lord, if haply, or in hopes that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far. There is that place of just, it's like you're just kind of putting your feelers out there. God, I know you're there. I know you're there for me to find you. I'm not sure how, but you have to start the journey. God, I don't know exactly what to do, but I'm just going to pray for a while, and then I'm going to listen for a while. I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to go to assembly and listen to what's being taught. Those are the process of feeling after him. Sometimes it feels like you're feeling around in the dark. You're not even sure what you're doing. You're not even sure how to do this. God, I'm not even certain if I'm doing it right, but I'm looking for you. I'm looking for your word. I'm looking for your will. I want to be where you are, God, because where you are, there's joy and there's life. When you begin to do that, you begin that process. It may feel awkward. It may feel a little bit strange. It may seem uncomfortable. It's like sitting in a small room with your uncle that you haven't seen in 20 years. I don't know what to talk about. It may feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, but I promise you, if you'll go there, if you will do that, if you will begin that journey, God will draw you in, and there are blessings abundant. Blessings abundant. When we seek Him, we press in to know Him and require His presence. He hears us, He answers us, He is found of us, and He delivers us from that captivity. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I love Isaiah. I love chapter 55. There are so many things that God has ministered to me in this chapter, but we're going to start with verse 1, and I'm in the, again, in the Amplified Classic, and he says, "Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters," he says. "Come to the waters." And remember, jump to John chapter 7. We talked about on the last of the feast days that Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Anyone that is thirsty can come to him. Anyone with a need, you just feel dry. You just feel kind of parched on the inside. You're not sure what's going on. You thought you knew God, and suddenly you feel like you're alone. You're out there. But Jesus said, "Come to me and drink." He will pour out of himself his presence that waters those dry places. But then he says, "If you believe in me, then these things will flow out of you." And he says further in Isaiah, back in chapter 55, "And he who has no money, come buy and eat." Yes, come and buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. There is no penance, no work that you have to do, no working your way. What was that old song back in the 70s? "I'm working my way back to you, babe." You don't have to work your way back to God. There's no work. He just said, "Come." You don't need money. You don't have to pay. You don't have to, you have to pray at least 3 hours a day or he's not going to hear you. He just said, "Come. Just come to me and I will feed you on these things." They speak of healing, of calming, of nourishment, the things that he will do if we just surrender. How do we receive those things? We just come to him and surrender. And we find sustenance and we find that living water that satisfies. You know, we seek sometimes after things and we think, if I get one more accessory, if I get one more vehicle, if I get just a little bit of a nicer house, if I can find a few more friends, if I can find these things, then I will be satisfied. But they do not satisfy. That is why the world is continually seeking more. More money, more notoriety, more fame. When you get into drugs and things like that, eventually that dose doesn't work anymore. You've got to get more. You've got to get more. There's never a satisfaction. But in Christ, what he ministers to you, what he gives to you, brings satisfaction. There is a wholeness that you sense there in him. And you do desire more of him, but it's not because you're not good, because you're not fixed, and because it's not helping anymore. It's just because when you experience his goodness, it automatically propels you into more. And he says, "Why do you spend money for that which is not bread," just what we were talking about, "and your earnings for that which doesn't satisfy?" And he says, "Hearken diligently to me, listen closely, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, in the profuseness of spiritual joy." You know, we are a spirit. We are spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. Now, what constantly challenges us is that need to feel better. There's so much depression right now that is rampant. And this is even among people who are saved. They know God. Their spirit is one with him, but their soul has not found delight. The soul of man is what is seeking for a place of comfort, a place to rest, a place to be satiated. When we seek him, when we listen to him, he brings us out of that oppression. He brings us out of depression. He brings us out of confusion and worry. He brings us out of those things in our soul, in that soulish realm. We find help there. We find joy. Our soul delights in Him. And then He says in verse 3, "Incline your ear and consent and come to Me. Hear, and your soul will revive," will sustain life, your mind, your will, your emotions. When we listen to Him, His word ministers to our soul and brings us back to a place of soundness where we are whole. He will meet us there. When we listen to Him, we find life. Our mind, will, and emotions are ministered to. We are revived, and not just temporarily, but in a way that sustains life within us. These are the benefits of seeking Him. Bondages fall off. Oppression has to go. Joy and satisfaction come when we seek Him. In verse 6, He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Claim Him by necessity and by right." Don't let the enemy tell you that you have no right to seek the Lord. Look how you've been living. No, He gave His Son for whosoever will. You have a right to seek the Lord, to seek answers. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've lived. The blood of Jesus cleanses. It's not our works. It's what Jesus did. And now He says, "Come to Me. Hear Me, and your soul will live." Amen. "Hearken unto Me. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." Now is the time to seek Him. Now is the time to press into Him and see that when we do, He's just told us, your soul will delight in fatness. Now, what does it say in 3 John 2? He said, "I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers." So as we seek Him and we find that prosperity of the joy within us and the things falling off, then we will see our bodies come into that place of health and wholeness. We're not working against ourselves anymore. All of this, our life and the place where we are and our bodies, prosper when we seek Him. And then we want to move over to Psalms chapter 16. It says, "I have set the Lord always before me." In other words, I have found a place. If you look at that in the Hebrew, it talks about, I've found a place of balance where He is there and I am here, and I keep Him in this place right here. I have set Him before me. Because He is at my right hand, I have made Him my go-to place. Your right-hand man, that's your go-to man. That's your strength. That's what you reach for. Because I've made Him my right hand, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We have heard that we are in a time of shaking right now. There is a time where governments, kingdoms, systems, people, cultures, all sorts of things are being shaken right now. But when we set the Lord always before us, when we make Him our sustenance, when we seek Him, we will not be shaken. We have received, the word says, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That is Him. When we choose to seek Him and put Him first, it puts us in a position of strength. Though the world around us is shaking, we've received that kingdom that cannot be shaken. And it says in verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad." Again, talking about your inner self, your mind, your will, your emotions, regardless of what's going on around you, what it looks like around you, your heart can be glad. Your heart can rejoice in the Lord. And my inner self, it says my glory, my inner self rejoices. It produces that joy. And it says my flesh also will rest in hope. There is strength for your body. When you are seeking Him, when you are pressing in, He is taking care of those things for you. Verse 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not only do we receive it, but God will direct us in walking in and going forward in that joy and peace. It's a path, not just a place. It's a path. And as we go, we continue in that place of life. In your presence, when you look at that in the Hebrew, in your presence, it says, before your face, in the fullness of your countenance, is fullness of joy. When we seek Him, and we find that place of complete joy, it also does something to the outside of you, and it actually becomes evangelistic. When you seek Him, when you are pressing into Him, Psalms chapter 67 says, God, be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. That's that same word. In your presence is fullness of joy. Cause your face to shine upon us and among us. Why? So that we can all be happy? So that we can sit and say, we got it. I've got it. I've got it. There's more to it than just getting it, though. Because in verse 2 it says, that your way may be known upon the earth. Your saving power, the word there is Yeshua. Your deliverance and your salvation among all nations. When we seek Him and we come into that place of His presence, we are changed and we become the testimony that shows the world God is good. God is doing things because I see it in you. I see changes in you. I see peace in you when the world is in turmoil. And then His way is shown. His way is known. When we seek Him, the world will know that we've been with Him. It'll be like Moses when he went up on the mountain. And he spent so long up there with God, I don't think he really knew how much passage of time. And he came down and everyone said, you're going to have to put something over you. We can't even look at you because you are shining because of your brightness. And you know, when we gather together, there's light, but we're all, you know, the light is all together and everybody looks okay. But when you go out into the darkness, you radiate that light. People are drawn to the light that is within you because you have spent time with the Father, because you pressed in, because you sought Him. There are deposits made on the inside of you that other people are going to see and want to draw on. The word says, nations come to our light and kings to the brightness of our rising. What is the light? What is the brightness? It is His presence. It is His answers. It is His word within us that we come to. And still in verse 11, it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Seeking Him puts us in a place to find what truly is a blessing. We'll jump over, I'm pretty close to done. Jump over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is turned towards Him. Remember He said, when you inquire of Me with all of your heart, I will be found of you. He is looking for you. He is anxious for us to come to Him. Parents, you understand how beautiful it is, especially as your children get older, that they find time to come back to you and talk to you and let you know what's going on in their life, how precious that is, how special that is. And your child can think, well, you know everything about me. You've known me. You know more about me than I know about myself. Why do you want to talk to me? Because I love you. Because you're part of my life, and being around you blesses me. God feels that way about us. He created us with purpose. He created us. We were His idea. Yes, He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to come into that place. He is looking for us. And those who turn their hearts to Him, He wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. Praise God. Thank you, Father. The heart that seeks the Lord puts itself in a prominently viewed place by God so that He can show Himself strong on their behalf, which is what He desires to do. Again, we're talking about the rewards of seeking Him. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, you're all most probably familiar with this. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden things that you did not know or have knowledge of or understand. That is a promise from God that if you call out to him, he will answer you. And not just answer you, but he's going to tell you secrets. He's going to tell you things that he may not tell anybody else. He wants you to know this because he's caused you to go here. So I'm going to show you what you need to know about that place. I'm going to show you secrets and tell you things. Wouldn't you love to hear secrets from God? He knows it all. He knows it all. And for him to come and tell us and show us those things. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. It's the same as this promise. He reveals the heart of the Father to us. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. This is Jesus talking. It says he will guide you into all truth. For he won't speak his own message or on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father and reveal that to you, announce and declare to you things that are to come. You know, sometimes certain sectors of Christianity, we get caught up in thinking, well, we have to seek out a prophet and listen to the prophets because the prophets hear from God. God tells them what's going to happen. So we need to hear from the prophets. And there is a place that God has designated for that. I'm not taking away from that at all. But sometimes we take away from what God wants to tell us. Because as I understand it, Jesus was talking to whoever would listen here. He wasn't just talking to the fivefold. He wasn't just talking to those that have a special call on their lives. He just said, if you will receive the Spirit of truth when he comes, he will show you things to come. He will tell you, don't take that road this morning because there's a 26-car pileup on it, and you can be spared from that if you'll listen to me. From the smallest things to God, who's got the best oranges today? My kids love oranges. I need a good deal on them, but I don't want those yucky ones, you know, the weird ones that taste funky. He'll tell you. He will show you these things from the minutest detail to the important things of God. Is it time to move? Are we supposed to be living somewhere else? God, is it time to step out in that calling? All of those things he will reveal. 1 Corinthians 2, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for him, for those that love him. But, verse 10, God has unveiled and revealed them to us by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God and reveals those things to us. There is a place when we are listening that we will hear these things, but that's part of seeking. You have to be listening. You have to be pressing in. You have to be yielding your heart. Incline your ear. Come to him and he will. It's not going to fall on you out of the sky necessarily while you're going for ice cream. Now, if you've been praying all morning and you haven't heard anything yet, and then you go for ice cream, it might. It could happen at that point, but there has to be a place where you give him place. You give him time. You give him reverence. And you know, I heard a minister saying this week, so many of us think of prayer as a discipline. How long did you pray today? Did you pray at least 30 minutes today? But I want to present to you that in the process of seeking him, it becomes continual communion with him. Everything that you're doing, everywhere that you are, there is an open line of communication. God, I'm going to go, everybody staying home so much with the strange weather, my honey-do list is getting attended to. Because he is, he's hearing what is it that I want done, and he's taking care of it. Praise God. I'm so excited about that. Thank you. Thank you so much. But in the process of doing these things, of hanging the curtains, of putting the shelf on the wall, we can still be in that place where our ear is inclined unto him. I'm still listening while I'm going. In fact, I would recommend it because things are changing out there. And maybe he didn't tell you this morning, but once you get in your car, you're going to need to know. A continual place of listening to him. And at some point, as you continue to press into that, there becomes a shifting in your heart. There should be a shifting in your heart where it's no longer about, God, tell me the best thing to do. Tell me the best place to go. Tell me the easiest way to get this done. Tell me what you're going to do with my family. Tell me how to fix my daughter. Tell me how to do these things. It becomes, God, what are you doing today? And how can I participate? How do you want to use me today, God? There's a shifting inside of you. The closer that you get to him, you become changed on the inside. We become vessels of honor for his glory. And we know that as we do his bidding, he's just going to take care of everything that we need. Give us everything that we need. We don't have to go and ask him, God, we need food today. The cupboards are bare. No, because we've spent time with him. He's taking care of those things for us. So I want to bring you back in closing to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if you come to him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, one who pays wages of those who diligently seek him. And I would ask you, what is the evidence of your faith? If you believe that, if you truly believe that he will be found of you, then what are you doing about that? What kind of a place are you making? It's not a matter of, oh, did I pray 30 minutes today? Did I pray 45 minutes today? It's just a matter of, did I make a place for him? Somewhere I stopped everything else, and I said, God, you are most important right now, and yielded myself to him, knowing that he will be answering as I go. Are you changing things about your life in order to seek him? Because that is where we truly find life. Not just in trying to check off a list, but in developing a relationship. Father, I thank you that you are calling us into your presence. You are continually drawing us by your Spirit closer and closer and closer. And Father, no matter how far away we might be right now or feel right now, or no matter how close we have pressed in and come, Father, there's always more. There's always the open invitation to come to you, to press into you, to hear, see, and know your heart, to be changed, Father, from glory to glory to glory. So I ask you now by your Spirit that you would continue to stir within us the desire to come closer to you, and show us how to order our steps. Show us how to arrange our schedules so that we are giving you that place. And we are growing in you. And we are finding that the things of the earth are growing dim. Father, they're less important as we grow in the knowledge and in the understanding of your presence within us. And Father, we ask you to use us for your glory. Show us how to participate with what you are doing in the earth. And Father, let us all be the blessing that you called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, Father, because you're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise God. I'm reminded of that old gospel song, the closer I get to you. That's not really a gospel song, is it? I can't remember all the words, and that's probably a good thing. But anyway, the more are the... And it's true, the closer that we get to God, his love captures us. And it makes us see that when we give him all that we have, his blessings, just of the relationship that we have with him, he is so good. He is so good, so loving, so kind. And he takes care of us. Hallelujah. Well, we receive the word of God. We say that it is planted deep in our heart and it will not be stolen, but it will produce fruit as it grows and matures. And we are changed because we have heard the word, because we have touched the heart of God. And he draws us by his Spirit. Father, we thank you that you are drawing us by your Spirit. As you said that if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men to yourself by your Spirit. And Father, we just exalt you, we lift you up, and we run to you. We run to you according to your word, in response to your love, not in response to our accomplishments, but in response to your love, we run to you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. This may not be a record of the earliest that we've ever dismissed, but it could be close. Could be. But I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been to church, been in his presence, heard his word. I speak blessings on you. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord, whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse, that you have his heart continually seeking you, so you continually seek him, and he teaches you all of his ways so that your ways are blessed. And as children of the Most High God, you're taught of him, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, and all weapons that are formed against you by the enemy, whether by verbally or any other way, they do not prosper. They do not prosper because God watches over you. The blood of Jesus protects you. His favor surrounds you. And you are an ambassador to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. All your ways are blessed. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. You are loved and you are blessed to be a blessing. Be very careful on your way home. You're dismissed. We will see you on Tuesday night prayer meeting. Unless we don't.